My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. Welcome back to The Drive, 96.5 The Fan, FM, Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton. Big thanks to Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs that came in for an hour. I could talk to Matt McMullen forever about the Kansas City Chiefs, but now time to talk to our Royals insider, one of the best in the business, and man, he sounds good on FM as well, Josh Vernier. What's up, Josh?
What's happening, Jay? How are you?
Well, I brought you on to talk Chiefs preseason football. What did you think of the game last night?
I was wondering. It was an odd intro. You said nice things about me, and then you called me Josh. So I figured we weren't talking Royals. I didn't watch a second of that game last night. Didn't watch a second.
We weren't doing anything.
No, I was. It's my father-in-law's birthday today, so we went out last night and wolfed down a bunch of pizza.
I'm surprised you didn't cook dinner like you were doing the other night.
Cook him dinner? No. No,
that's
I didn't.
What you were doing the other night. I'm calling you chopping onions or something.
Yeah. No, that's right. Binkley thinks. You know what? I'm not gonna dump on you, Bink.
Hey,
it's 2024. It's okay for a guy to make dinner for his wife.
No, I'm with you, Vern. I would never eat anything you made, but you know, here nor there. Well, what a game you got!
I'm a good cook. Yeah, whatever.
Are you?
Sorry. Go ahead.
I've never had it.
It's not.
Nor I want to try it, but Philadelphia in town. I love when teams play every single team. I love this series. The fact that you're getting, you know, Bryce Harper, you got Trey Turner, you got Kyle Schwarber. It's a rematch of the 1980 World Series, and I know they've played each other since then. But you know what? As a young kid, I was in the stands for the 1980 World Series, so it always kind of fun with me in Philadelphia and Kansas City. I know they don't have as many wins as the Dodgers. They're close, but I consider this the best baseball team in Major League Baseball. Good test for the Royals.
Yeah, and listen, I could point out that the Phillies have lost 19 games since the All-Star break. They're one of the worst teams in baseball, as a matter of fact, since the Midsummer Classic, while on the flip side, the Royals have the third best record in baseball since the All-Star break. If that gives you confidence going into this weekend, great. To me, I see the Phillies starting lineup, and it goes Schwarber, Turner, Bryce Harper, Alec Bohm, Nick Castellanos, Bryson Stott, JT Realmuto. You have Zach Wheeler pitching on Sunday, the return of Ranger Suarez likely tomorrow. Man, I'm not looking past that Phillies team, but you can't look past any of these next 20 games, Bink. Each one bigger than the last. Each one of them is going to feel as much of a playoff feel as you can have in late August, but it sure is nice to have it back in Kansas City.
This is the beginning of your riptide. Isn't that correct?
It is.
20 games against 20 playoff teams. Well, same teams, but 20 games against playoff teams.
Yeah, teams right now that are in position and teams right, we'll see what happens with Minnesota, Bink. I've been burying Minnesota since May. So they continue to prove me wrong, and maybe they will continue. But yeah, 20 straight games, seven against Cleveland, the final seven games against Cleveland, the final three games against Minnesota, a four-game set against an Astros team that just got Justin Verlander back and has taken aim at an eighth straight trip to the ALCS. And then it all wraps up with an MVP matchup between Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge, a three-game set in the Bronx surrounding September 11th. So 20 straight games, just a couple of off days thrown in there. Listen, you can feel confident all you want about this Royals team, but it was a week and a half ago that I was being chastised on the post-game show for yelling at people for talking about the wild card. I've been screaming at people for a month, man. It's about the division. Focus on Cleveland. You play them seven more times. The division is still up for grabs. And now I think everyone is now focused on Cleveland and the division. That all changed in 10 days. We got 20 straight games, man. There is nothing in this league right now that is wrapped up. Maybe outside of the AL West. You want to give that to the Astros? I'm not going to fight you. But every other spot in the postseason, to me, the AL MVP is still up for grabs. I don't care what the odds say. You're telling me if the Royals end up with the best record in the American League and the Yankees don't win their division, you're telling me Bobby's not the MVP? Man, it's all out there to be grabbed by whoever wants to go out there and take it. And the Royals have a chance tonight with Michael Wacha, who's been one of the three best pitchers in the sport for about 3.5 months now, Bink. So
yeah,
you feel good about going into the opener with Wacha opposite Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, and Taiwan Walker's really struggled this year. I think his ERA is over 5, I think, at this point. But, Vern, you mentioned Minnesota. Their plus-minus is not where the Royals is. They're +110. They're +73 with Minnesota. I've been with you. Like, I've been waiting for them to fall because they're the type of team to me that can be streaky and go up and
down.
They're
just too hurt. They're all hurt. They're always hurt.
I know. I just keep waiting for them to fall off. And
they're like the Braves, really.
Maybe the Cleveland side. Like Cleveland lost 7 in a row before winning 5 in a row, and now they lost 5 of 6. They only had one hit.
Yeah, but look at who they're playing, right? Look at who they're playing. I'm not getting caught up in that. They lost 3 to the first place Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee, and then they dropped 2 of 3 in the Bronx to the Yankees. I'm not going to dance on Cleveland's grave when the Royals are about to embark on something very similar to what Cleveland just failed. Okay, they lose 5 of 6 to 2 first-place teams. The Royals are about to play the next 11 games against first-place teams. Before we spike the football and say this team's dead in Cleveland, let's see how the Royals handle tonight. Let's see what they do for the next week. Look, Royals had a very good record against Milwaukee, and they have a very good record against Cleveland. They have a very good record against the Houston Astros this season. I know people like to dog Kansas City, though you only beat up on Detroit and Chicago. Well, the teams that Cleveland can't beat and Cleveland themselves, Royals have held their own against them. Hopefully they can do it again with the doubleheader starting on Monday.
Yeah, everybody's looking at Cleveland and say, oh, they still have 3 games against the White Sox. And I remind people all the time, Cleveland has played Chicago 10 times and they're 5-5.
Yeah, and Bink, you remember, you've been around here long enough. You know what bad September baseball looks like, but how many times did we see Adalberto Mondesi and Hunter Dozier and Brad Keller get hot in September?
Sure. I mean,
shoot, last year that 106-loss team went and helped went and hurt the Astros down in Houston. That was a bad team last year, but they caught Houston at the right time, and they took 2 of 3. Maybe they swept that series down in Texas last year. So we're now getting to the point of the season where, sure, some teams have mailed it in, but now the teams that are looking towards 2025, they're trying to play spoilers. Now, Royals aren't going to be facing any spoiling type of teams, at least not for the next few weeks. But, you know, Cleveland, like you're saying, with Chicago, I'm sure that Grady Sizemore and that coaching staff down there would love to knock Cleveland off their perch in the division.
Who do you trust more, though, Vern? Cleveland, Minnesota, or the Royals? I mean, you have been steadfast. The Royals should be gearing for the division, which is sitting 2 games back right now.
Yeah.
Like Minnesota, but in your gut, like which team has the momentum? Which team is, you know, starting to think about themselves a little bit too much? And which team is that team that's hungry? Like which team has that energy? Which team?
Yeah.
Which team do you trust the most, Kansas City, Minnesota, or Cleveland?
Well, you know the old adage, as far as momentum, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. And to me, there's nothing better. There's nothing I've enjoyed more about this season than the next day's starting pitcher. Celebrating a win on the postgame show and then going, oh, and Cole Reagans is pitching tomorrow. Or after a tough loss. Yeah, we're bummed out, but Seth Lugo's pitching tomorrow. Something along those lines. So who do I trust the most? I trust the team with the best rotation, and that's the Kansas City Royals. I trust them the most as far as the regular season is concerned. But I think Cleveland's the scariest team of the bunch come October when you have off days mixed in there, and they can go two innings with Emmanuel Clase basically every game. They can start to deploy those outstanding relievers that they have for more than just one inning. They're going to be a lot like the 2014 Royals, where they're looking at everyone maybe outside of Tanner Bibee saying, just give me four solid innings and then we turn it over to the bullpen. While the Royals, come October, you're looking at Reagans and Lugo and Singer saying, you got to give me six. And then I need two from Urseg. And then we're just trying to figure out what we're going to do with that seventh.
When you think about this Royals offense, I mean, how just balanced they are. I mean, they have three guys with over 30 stolen bases this year. You're looking at the RBI numbers. I mean, Vinny's third in baseball in RBI. The Royals were the first team to have three guys over 70 with Perez, Witt, and Vinny. The first team to have three guys over 80, and they're going to be the first major league team with three guys over 90, because Sal Perez is almost right there. It's the door with 85, and they'll be the first team with three over 100. This has been an amazing run for this team, and I heard Cody the other day, and we talked about it yesterday, Rob and I. You think about 2014, because they had the same record on August 22nd, 71-56, same exact record. And I remember that team being damn good because they were damn good all around. But then you look at these numbers and think, all right, this team's got more power. They got more hits. That bullpen was incredibly special. But, man, I don't know if the 2024 team might beat that 14 team in a seven-game series.
Again, my concern is the off days, and that 2014 team, now you're saying I'll go two with Herrera, two with Wade, and two with Holly. That's six innings from untouchable monsters coming out of the bullpen, and you have Shields or Guthrie or whoever you want to give you the first three. I'll give you this. Bobby's the best player, no doubt. 2014 didn't have this Salvador Perez, so another edge to the Royals. 2014's, Billy Butler, I'll take Vinny Pasquantino over Billy Butler. Now, we want to talk 2015. I think I'll still side Kendrys Morales over
the 15
Vinny,
team, I'm going there.
Sure. Okay, well, that's cool. Then, seven-game series, I'll say that I'll take 2014 and seven. I say they win that series, yeah.
I would like to see that one simulated.
I'll take them in seven.
Kramer, you listening? I want to see that simulated. Play 24 Royals and the 14 Royals. I want to see.
But here's the thing, Binkley. You talk about those three bats in the middle with Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby. They're three of the five best hitters in the sport when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. All of them hitting better than 350. The thing is, as this this Riptide starts tonight, 20 straight games against the best in the sport, you can have no regression, right? From Lugo, from Waka, from Singer, from Reagans, from Urseg, from Bobby, from Vinny, from Salvi. They all need to remain all-stars. Bobby needs to remain an MVP. To me, Lugo and Reagans need to remain Cy Young Award candidates. Not that they're going to win it, but they need to continue to pitch like they are going to win it, like they are Cy Young Award candidates, because if those guys drop off, if Bobby isn't hitting 450, if Vinny and Salvi aren't driving in every opportunity that they get, who's picking them up? Not saying that they don't have anyone to pick them up, but I'm just asking, who do you feel confident will pick them up? Until I can, or you can, give me an answer on that, who can pick up Urseg? Who can pick up one of these starting pitchers? Are we that comfortable with Lorenzen? Are we that comfortable with Bubich or Long out of the bullpen? Are we that comfortable with Massey, with a Renfro, with an MJ? Who's going to be the Mike Moustakas of 2014? The guy that was bad to average in the regular season, but then picks it up in the home stretch or picks it up in October. That could be the difference between this team making the playoffs and this team getting a one or two seed and getting that first round bye right into the ALDS.
Well, you think these additions this team made at the trade deadline, Lucas Cersig, I mean, for a guy that was a former hitter, dude had some power too. Dude had some power. But just having that guy, he seemed, Vern, when he came out, I know he's got other saves, but he was the closer the other day. But he walks out, you know, he's got his name and the lights are changing. And he liked it. I mean, Lucas Cersig now, do you think he stays the closer?
Oh, no doubt.
Okay, yeah. So he's got that.
If he doesn't, man, we're in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the proverbial we're in trouble if he's not the closer. No, again, yeah, to me, Cersig's on the same level. Now he hasn't done it as long as Waka, Singer, Reagans, or Lugo, but Cersig's right there as far as the pressure, the expectations. I need you to pitch like an all-star. I know you weren't an all-star. I know this is your first playoff push, but just like Reagans and Singer and Bobby and Vinny, I need you to rise above. I need the game to remain moving in slow motion for you, because if it begins to speed up on you, well, then that suddenly puts more pressure on a John Schreiber, on a Sam Long, on a Chris Bubich, on a James MacArthur to pick up the slack. And maybe they're up for it. Haven't seen it yet. Not interested in seeing it anytime soon.
Final question for you, Vern. It's a great series. I can't wait. You're firing me up for this one. The Price is Right attendance game that the Drive does. As far as attendance, it was 13,009 like the first time, but Wednesday. But, you know, school's back. People were there.
Well,
there was
whatever. They go to school everywhere. Can we stop?
That's what I've always said. So I went 30,000. At least 30,000 tonight, because I'm looking at, okay, it's Philadelphia's chance to see Bryce Harper and all these guys. Your team is only two games back from the division. You've got the Lorenzo Cain bobblehead. You've got fireworks.
Yeah,
so
fireworks.
I have at least 30,000 tonight. Maybe I'm stretching it, but man, I don't know.
You shouldn't be. Oh, you better not be stretching it. Royals averaging just over 20,000 a game this season. That is fifth worst in baseball. They're better. You know what? There should be 30,000.
A lot of giveaways, man.
Yeah, listen, I know there'll be more than 25.
People like fireworks.
Will there be 30? I hope so. I expect so. It seems like a nice night. It's going to be hot as you know what tomorrow, likely on Sunday as well. Sunday's the game to go to, if I'm being quite honest, though. Seth Lugo and Zach Wheeler, the finale of this. But bottom line, you know, there are 15 home games left in the regular season, so we shouldn't have to sell anyone to come out to Kauffman Stadium. And again, for those of you listening, going, do you know how expensive it is? And okay, well, then I'm not talking to you. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I went to one game a year growing up. That's all we could afford. So do what you got to do. But Kansas City, you feel that you are an elite sports town. You now have an FM sports station. Yeah, I'm expecting 30 grand tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. But it's kind of funny, but I remember those days, Vern. People love fireworks. I remember the team would be being drilled like 10-1, and full crowd till the end. It was like back in the 14 and 15 or something. Right. They'd stay because they love fireworks.
Let me ask you this, Bing. The thing that I always look for, you'll remember this. You know, about an hour before first pitch, when the cars would start to back up on the off-ramp, getting off to come to Kauffman Stadium, when you would start to see it back up 30, 40 minutes before first pitch. I've only seen it once. Since the glory days of Hosmer, Kane, and Mike Moustakas. I've really only seen it once, and I think it was about a month and a half ago, a big series here at Kauffman Stadium. I saw it, I think maybe the Cubs series. That Friday, Saturday against Chicago, I saw people backing up, trying to get off, trying to get to Kauffman Stadium. I'm hoping I see that this weekend, but again, I'm not holding my breath.
Great stuff. Josh Vernon, you hear him tonight at 6 o'clock. Huge series. Philadelphia and Kansas City, we're on the riptide, the stretch of 20 games that Vern's been talking about forever. Every game is important, but tune in to Vern at 6. Vern, thank you very much, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Here you go, Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider right there. Coming up, man of the hour, Carson Steele. We haven't talked much about him. We'll talk about him next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by
DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to The Drive, 96.5 The Fan, FM, Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton, producing the operation. Big thanks to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. It's going to be fun. Philadelphia and Kansas City. Decided pitching advantage for the Royals tonight, Michael Walker against Taiwan Walker of the Philadelphia Phillies. Did you watch the game last night in Carson Steele? Have you watched what he's been doing this preseason? Breaking tackles. He's already broken 9 tackles this preseason. And sometimes, like I said yesterday, you have to take out the grain of salt because you're going against second, third teamers, those kind of things. But did have that impressive run yesterday. It's a couple of them actually on the same drive, but he was one of them.
And he breaks into the secondary again. 15 angles, 10, 5, and drags a bear down inside the 5. They say touchdown, Kansas City. He took his alligator in there. What a run. 32-yard left angle run by Carson Steele.
I would have given him that touchdown, Rob. I'm kind of glad I didn't because he got to practice some goal line situations. Then he goes out and gets it the next time. But Carson Steele has definitely stood out as far as the offensive players with this team. It's been Jaden Hicks on defense that I thought. Peter Schrager, I mean, Carson Steele, I mean, social media for the NFL, you name it, was picking up on it and having fun, you know, with the alligators, a pet, and everything else. But Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football this morning was talking about how Brett Veach just continues to find these type of guys.
The Chiefs played their starters in preseason last week, and they walked right up and down the field, and the Chiefs seem to just be keeping finding new and new guys every single year. Can we talk about Carson Steele,
yeah,
who was at Ball State and then transferred over to UCLA, and now is an undrafted rookie free agent for the Kansas City Chiefs, and is going to make this team? Kyle's absolutely right. He might be spelling Pacheco as the number 2 running back.
That's nuts.
And not just as a fullback. He carries the rock, and he does a fine job. And look, it's one thing to just have, like, carries in the third preseason game. It's another thing to do it all preseason, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's to get the attention of Mahomes. Look at Patrick Mahomes here on the sidelines. So excited. I'd like to go back to the footage and not come back to me because you got to see Mahomes.
He flexes.
Mahomes is flexing and is going all out. And it's like, where do they find these guys?
Good question.
How did Kansas City get this guy? It's almost like every other year, it's like, where Pacheco's a 7th rounder.
Yep.
Trey Smith is a 6th rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Williams is going to play a lot of corner. Day 3 guy. Leo Chenal is going to be one of their stars on defense. Day 3 guy. Justin Ross is probably going to have a role in the offense this year, and he's been waiting. Day 3 guy. And now Carson Steele, undrafted. And I love how engaged Mahomes is. Mahomes could be just there sitting on the sideline talking to his wife, going to the sideline. Mahomes is out there flexing. Like, I love the Bears. I love what they did this offseason. I don't know what's going to happen. They're in a really tough division, and there's a lot of rocky roads ahead for a rookie quarterback. Mahomes and the Chiefs, it's not just those guys. They find new players. Carson Steele, welcome to the squad.
Yeah, I love that. Justin Ross, by the way, day 3 guy. He was undrafted, to be honest with you. But the genesis of what he's saying, how does Brett Veach find these guys? Well, he does it because they have great scouts. And obviously some of these scouts you see get, you know, promoted, like Mike Borgonzi with the Chiefs now, the assistant GM. But they've been very careful with who they bring in. And there's always a reason. Like Carson Steele wasn't a mystery to a lot of people. He had 891 yards rushing his first year at Ball State. He had 1,556 his second year. You don't see, you know, typical fullbacks run for that kind of yards because he was playing halfback. 1,556 yards, 14 touchdowns, 29 catches that season at Ball State when he led the MAC in rushing that year. And Brett Veach is no stranger to that. He was part of the scouts instrumental bringing Kareem Hunt here when Kareem Hunt was in the MAC at Toledo. So then he transfers out to UCLA, 847 yards, but over 5 yards a carry, and then 17 catches for UCLA. But it's not a mystery why he was good and what he's doing. But to me, his value, because he can still break one for a lot, and he can pass block. Pass block has actually been pretty good up in training camp. But catch the football. But what you can do on third and one, what you can do on fourth and one, this is where they've sorely been missing it, Rob, for what he's done. Is he the second best runner on this team right now? It's hard for me to say he's not.
I, most of the preseason, have been waiting on buying Carson Steele stock. And I'm still going to wait because I know Peter Schrager said it in that cut that, yeah, he's been getting some run against some actual first-team NFL guys in the Jags game and the Lions game. And last night was the super highlight, but that came against, you know, guys who are going to be bagging groceries in a week. So sure. I don't take much for that. He is a great story, and he has a chance to be productive, but I feel like he is quintessential what happens a lot in the preseason and in training camp. Fans fall in love with a player. He performs well in the preseason. They get too lofty of expectations about his regular season output, and then he ends up being a contributor, which is a real win, but fans create this unrealistic expectation, and he fails to meet that number. Do I think he can help this football team? Yes. Do I think he's going to help in short yardage? Absolutely. Do I think he can end up being running back two? Probably. But do I think he's anything more than like a 250 to 400 yard guy? And 400 even seems high to me in the NFL. That's probably what the ceiling is in year one. And that's a big contribution. If you do what Jerick McKinnon did last year, I think that's a win for the organization. But I feel like in the preseason, people get hyped up and they start talking big and spicy. And then the regular season comes, you realize, oh, yeah, you're going to use Pacheco way more than you're going to use Carson Steele.
Yeah, you always have to be careful with who you're playing against because you're like you said, they're not going to be guys that are going to be on NFL rosters, probably selling insurance or whatever, who knows. But then I think, okay, what would Clyde have done? Would Clyde have had that kind of powerful run and things like that? And I don't think he would have. Like I see Carson Steele, I know he's going against, but I don't think Clyde could have done that. And that stiff arm is a strong man's dude, a game, and he's done it before. Like his history is running the football, and I think that becomes an incredible asset on short yardage. Where the Chiefs have struggled at catching the ball out of the backfield, being able to pass and pass protection, and then the way he follows his blocks, just like the goal line situations we've seen. Because that's where it gets frustrating, where these drives stall and you're sitting here going, man, you know, I'd rather the Chiefs be in third and three or fourth and three than third and one or fourth and one. How many times you watch a Chiefs game and thought that? Like, man, just give Mahomes a little bit of yardage here, you know, and see, because they're not going to do the quarterback sneak. You know they're not going to do that. But if Carson Steele can be that guy that you trust, then not only can he get you that yard, but he might break one off at some point. Hey. And then if then pass protection is what you want to do and he's back there in pass pro, so be it. I think he just kind of fits into what this backfield is, and I think he makes the team. I 100% think he makes the team. I have 7 wide receivers on this team right now as we go forward. I'm still staying at 3 tight ends, not the 4. I know some people have the 4 tight ends with Irv Smith making the team, but we'll get into that next on kind of what we learned during the preseason as we continue on the drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to The Drive. It's Friday. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. Any big plans this weekend, Rob?
Tomorrow I will be doing the wine walk at the Kansas City Zoo.
Oh, Mm-hmm. What do you do there? Are these different animals? Do you drink a different glass of wine?
You walk around and look at the animals, and then there are different drink stands. You can get a nice glass of wine and walk around. So, yeah.
The wine walk.
Wine walk at the zoo.
You're going to take in some week zero action?
I am going to do that in the morning.
Okay. So the game in Ireland?
I'm not going to be locked into SMU Nevada, but no. Ireland game, that's got my interest.
It's fun. Next weekend is going to be fun, man.
Week one schedule is great.
Starting Thursday on. I mean, I kind of like that weekend. You like that weekend just to buffer before the NFL where you can just sit there, relax, and watch college football weekend. Not that I don't do that anyway, but just have it on college football spotlight.
I love it. If I had one complaint about it, I would get the game off Monday. I don't like the Monday night game. Like, I don't mind Sunday, but like you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you get a game Sunday. Like, I don't need a Monday night added bonus game. I don't need all that. I think that's USC versus LSU this year. I don't need that one.
That's Sunday, actually.
Move that to Saturday. Okay.
That one's Sunday at 6:30. Then Monday's Boston College, Florida State. Florida State keeps even all these standalone great games.
I would give Florida State a bye. You don't need to come back from Ireland and play on Monday. You're good. Take a week off. That's the one I don't want.
So you've got that game Monday night, then you get the Chiefs and the Ravens that Thursday night. I mean, football is here. Hope you did your honeydews, certain point, because at this point, I don't know how you consume college football and pro football during the fall, but I know a lot of people don't do a lot of whole bunch of stuff. I know I don't. I'm pretty much locked in every Saturday and Sunday, Rob. That's exactly what I do. The wine walk is interesting, though. I always think, do they have beer walks there, too?
They have one in October called Brew at the Zoo.
Brew at the Zoo?
Very similar situation with beer, yeah.
What's your favorite animal at the zoo?
I love the polar bears. I don't know why. Just big polar bear guy.
They have a couple there. Just one. You know, that's actually the meanest bear in the kingdom.
I was aware of that, and I like watching the polar bear. There's just something about the, because you can see them swimming underwater, which I enjoy. So yeah, the polar bear is the answer.
Yeah, they're very good swimmers, but it's what everybody thinks because you see the commercials and think, it's a little Coca-Cola polar bear. You know what? They're fun bears. No, they're actually meaner than grizzlies than anybody else. I always enjoyed some of the animals there. The polar bear, I agree with you. They're fun to watch, 100%. As far as watching things, speaking of that, the Chiefs game and the preseason game, what did we learn during the preseason? I asked Matt Mengelmullen from the Chiefs that question. What did you want in preseason training camp, lump them all together, and what did you learn? Did you learn a ton? No, but you learned some key things, in my opinion. You learned the Chiefs drafted what you hope is the guy that you trust at your left tackle. Kingsley Suamatia had a really good training camp. There were some bumps in the road early on, but then again, you think about the athleticism and getting out in space and the way he can do things at the tackle position and block. You love to see what he did. And that was, to me, question number one for the Chiefs. Who's going to be your left tackle? With the battle with Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamatia, who's going to win that job? And is it just somebody that's just going to be filling that role? Or are you going to be on the phone in case of emergency, break glass, calling David Bakhtiari, or are you calling Donovan Smith? They did the year before. Are you going to be panicking about it? And the fact that they didn't make that phone call tells me everything I need to know about how much they trust Kingsley at left tackle. There was that. And then you wanted to say, okay, Xavier Worthy. With the Chiefs, again, first round wide receiver. They picked Xavier Worthy over some good ones. Leggett, Keon Coleman, A.D. Mitchell. They decided to go with Xavier Worthy. All right, what's he going to do? How good is he going to be? He missed the OTAs and everything with that calf and wasn't out there. And you're like, oh, man, I hope this isn't the way it goes. But then you see Hollywood Brown go down. You say, okay. But Xavier Worthy has shown that breakaway that you thought he would. Guy could play X on the outside, could play in the inside in the slot. I think they're going to have more in the slot moving around because that way he can get some space, some separation instead of right out the gate. But he can do both, and he did both at Texas, played inside and outside. But he showed you he's got that burst. He shows you it's something different that they haven't had. And, Hollywood Brown through training camp and through until he was hurt in the preseason game, you understand why they made that. So you wanted to see that. That was one of the things you wanted to see, the wide receiver progression. So we learned that. We learned that the Isaiah Pacheco, but who's going to, you know, who's going to be behind him? They bring Clyde back last year. Denerick Prince was going to get year two because he did have one good game in the preseason two games ago against Detroit. You think, all right, well, who's going to run the ball behind Pacheco? Who's going to be that guy that come in and they can hand it off and you feel comfortable? Carson Steele at this point, to me, has been that guy. I think he's the second-best runner on this team. I mean, there's not a ton to choose from, but I would put him there. My biggest thing, too, was short yardage. Who's going to get on third and one? Who's going to get on fourth and one? And I think I did learn that maybe they did correct that because that was one of the biggest problems with this team going forward. I like that. The defense, they all came back. Again, when you think about the defensive line and how Neil Farrell was the only guy under contract when really the offseason and free agency began, but then they bring back Turk Wharton, Chris Jones, and all these guys, Mike Dannon, they bring them all back, and you're like, okay, they brought back the group, brought back the crew that finished number two in the NFL in total defense and points against. You're like, okay, now I see why they did it. And Jaden Hicks, you want to see what he could do. You throw him in the mix at safety because Chiefs are really loaded there, so wouldn't say there was a ton to learn, but definitely Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamatia were number one and two going in. And I did feel that I learned something about them in this training camp and preseason. So had questions, very few of them, but I feel like they were answered, Rob.
I feel like the Chiefs were in a really good spot and the fact that they didn't have any questions, like pressing questions, like the Bears and the Commanders who drafted quarterbacks in the first five picks, they had pressing questions. The Chiefs didn't have that. They were largely done roster, so they didn't have any major questions. They had a couple. What's the wide receiver room going to look like? I think that remains a question because Marquise Brown injury does change the calculus a little bit. It does change what we think of it. Like, the first play of the preseason, Marquise Brown's now out for 6 weeks. Like, yeah, at the time of the injury, like, the question about wide receiver remains. I agree with you. The question about left tackle seems to have been shored up, but let's see. Let's see long-term what that looks like, but we feel confident there. And the other questions were, hey, who's going to fill in the cornerback too? Joshua Williams has looked good in the preseason. Jalen Watson coming back from injury got a lot of run last night. He's come back from injury. But I think it's really hard to be like, oh, they found their corners when, you know, you're playing largely against insurance salesmen and grocery baggers. So I feel like in a good way, the Chiefs didn't have any questions coming into camp and into the preseason, and they left camp and left the preseason without many answers, but the biggest question they had got answered. They feel like they have their left tackle, and just, I'm not Mitchell Schwartz, I'm not an offensive line expert, but you felt confident when he was out there at left tackle, Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah, and Mahomes needs to feel comfortable by not only the receivers he's throwing to, but the men protecting him in that pocket from the oncoming pass rush, because there is some good pass rushers in this division. Of course, the AFC's got some very good pass rushers that they're going to face this season. All those were important things, but you're right. There wasn't many questions. I mean, Chris Jones, that deal last year, that was a major question that hung over this team at camp. Thought he was going to be signed before camp. Wasn't, missed training camp. And you're sitting there going, oh, gosh, what are they going to do? He didn't play in the first game. Kelce gets hurt right before the season starts. You're like, okay. And so you get your questions, but this year there really wasn't. I guess the question was, again, to me, it was Xavier Worthy. How good was he going to be when he's, you know, around this defense, facing some of these corners, having Mahomes throw to him? What are you going to get from Xavier Worthy? That was number one, and Kingsley Suamatia was number two to me, but you can flip-flop them one and two. It doesn't matter because I think both those guys are extremely important to the Chiefs. And, of course, you'll find out more when they're actually playing a team, the Baltimore Ravens, the first game of the year. But I did feel that training camp for this team, was it a long training camp? Yeah, 23 practices. This team has been resilient. They're in great shape. They've played more football than any team in the National Football League has, without a question. Now, I know there's new guys on this team and stuff, but not a ton. Not a ton. And keep in mind, they've been going all the way to the end. Most guys are in Cancun at the time. The Chiefs are still playing because they go to the AFC title game or they go to the Super Bowl. It's just kind of the MO of what they do in Kansas City. But yeah, watching it last night, there were some things I wanted to see. There were some definite things you wanted to see, but to be honest with you, just like Rob said, did we really have that many questions? And knowing who your left tackle is, It was big because they didn't have to break off that phone call. Didn't have to call Donovan Smith. Didn't have to call David Bakhtiari. And now, hey, you get Kingsley in the second round. You kidding me? I told Matt McMullen on a break. I was like, you know, in 2 years, when they redraft this and have him as a first rounder, I will not be shocked at all. I'll be not shocked at all because that's what we do with Creed Humphrey. That's why we look at Trey Smith. It doesn't matter the draft. It's about what you do. It's the redraft. Where would you fit in the National Football League in a couple of games? And I think the Chiefs continue to get steals, and I think they continue to do a great job, as Peter Schrager says, of going out and finding somebody like a Cardinson Steele that can add something to the Kansas City Chiefs and make this team. And it kind of throws out the window, Rob, is something you've been hammering for the longest time. Don't draft a running back in the first round. You just don't need to. We've seen time and time again teams taking running backs in the sixth round, the seventh round, or who are the best two runners on this team? Well, as I've said, I think it's Pacheco and Steele. That is seventh round, and that is undrafted. Those are your over a first rounder. That's who I think the best runners on this Kansas City Chiefs team are.
I mean, it definitely looks that way. I'm curious. Well, I'm curious about roster manipulation. I'm curious how the Chiefs handle Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Could they IR him or non-football injury list him? We don't know. We'll see how that comes out in the coming days. But I'm curious what Carson Steele looks like against the first team. And I'm curious if everyone's available, how much trust they have in him taking on a first-team defense. Like, if it's third and two, and it's late in the third quarter of a close game with the Ravens on Thursday night, the Thursday of the opener, are the Chiefs going to Carson Steele and saying, hey, we trust you, young man, welcome to the show, or are they kind of going to shield him a little bit? Because remember, last year, Justin Ross made the roster, and everyone's like, all right, Justin Ross, here we go. And then he got a handful of targets throughout the season. Didn't really ever break out with a really bad wide receiver group. Like, that didn't really happen. So they kind of, they didn't really thrust him in. I'm curious how they handle Carson Steele if, you know, there are other circumstances at play with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and things like that.
Well, I totally want to see week one. It's so much interest in the season. That's, you get so consumed with this team and what they're doing, and stuff matters. They're so professional in the way they go about things and do things. And like, when they let a player leave, I trust it because they see him every day. You know what you're getting. They see it. The position coaches see it. You trust it. Trust the coaching staff. And again, it's more than just Mahomes. It's more than just Andy Reid. It's Brett Veach, you know, building a front office, getting guys, getting the groceries to make the dinners. Bill Parcells used to say, let me shop for the groceries if you expect me to make dinner. But I'm glad they didn't have to call Donovan Smith. Like, I'm glad. I'm glad that and trust me, they trust Kingsley. They have to, or they're not going to go forward with him. He didn't play. He only played six plays in the first preseason game. Didn't play. That's because they trust him. That's because they don't want to get him hurt. That's because they feel they have their left tackle of the future. Can get out in space, move around, do the things you're expecting him to do. Anyway, it is Friday. We do have the new hits music. Come up next, we'll play the hits.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.